Nice fall day outside God's blessed us with, and even great that we think is that we get to eat afterwards. So y'all said, man, I wish you'd hush. And what's good now is our fellowship hall is down there, and we don't come up through the vents. But that bar is got a lot of food on it. So you ever saw that? Y'all remember Garfield when he'd be taking a nap and that food be above his head in that little bubble? That's kind of how I am right now. But appreciate the Pastor Appreciation Day. It means a lot. Appreciate the kind words Keith spoke this morning. And you know, it's been a year. I've been guilty of complaining about 2020 and all the bad things. But when Stephanie was talking the other night, God's really blessed us in 2020. We're all blessed. We're here this morning. We're able to breathe. We're able to walk. We're able to talk. We're able to have homes. So we have really been blessed. It's easy to look at all the bad, but maybe we should look at the good and think about what God has done. So let's praise him for that today. As far as prayer requests goes, I know we've got many. Ask your member Jane and Jackie McDaniel as we got to go by, spend some time with him Wednesday evening before church, and he was in good spirits. Everything's going pretty good as far as her being able to take care of him. Of course, you know that she's had to take off work. So be much in prayer for them, and just pray that God continues to bless there. Good to see Janelle and Kenny back this morning, and Kenji's looking good, and I think he's doing pretty good. So thank y'all for all the prayers. Do we have any more that I'm forgetting? Jeremiah had knee surgery, and Terry told us in Sunday school, was talking about our parents and our relationship to our children. He said, I'll tell you how strong it is. Sandy left me and went to be with Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had knee surgery. He had tore some ligaments and stuff in his knee. And the doctor has done some surgery on him. Was it Monday? And got him fixed up. And he's going to be, of course, any of y'all that's had that done, you know there's a little recovery time. And physical therapy has got to be done. So, and that stuff don't feel good. So pray that God makes it easy on him. Any others? Remember that. Amen.
Remember Sandra.
Any others? I ask you to remember our leaders of our country, remember our election coming up in a few weeks, and just pray that God's will be done in it. And again, remember our church. Pray for us. As you know, we'll be having one of the greatest outreach days we have is our fall festival. We will be having it next Sunday in the city park. Will look a little bit different than it usually does. Won't be any games. You'll probably see on your paper there about the candy. Have it in your individual bags and that type thing for this year. So that everything looks different. But pray that we will, something we say or do as we meet the people, will lead them to Jesus. That he will draw them and they will respond. So we ask you to be with our service this morning, to pray for our singers, and pray as God comes with a message, that I come with a message, that God touches my lips, and that nothing be preached that's not pleasing unto him. Any other prayer requests? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for life. We thank you for the gift. More than that, we thank you for the sacrifice that you've made on our behalf through your son, Jesus, that we don't have to pay our sins penalty, that it was paid for us. Father, we ought to be so happy today as a people that have been blessed with this truth. God, we ask you to be with all the prayer requests that we heard. Jeremiah, we pray that you heal his body quickly. We pray that you give Sandy, I know she knows how to take care of him, give him the grace and mercy. God, we pray for those other ones, Jane and Jackie. God, we pray for the family that Dave mentioned that's lost loved ones. We pray for Sandra. God, that you touch her body in a mighty way and help those that's taking care of her. God, maybe some that I've forgotten this morning, but I ask you to touch them also and just be real near to them. But God, we ask you a special petition this morning that you would be in our midst for just a little bit. God, we always need you, but this morning let us feel that presence. let us experience this morning. Let us worship you in spirit and in truth. Ask you to touch our singers as they sing. As I come to preach, God, you'll touch my lips and that we will understand the true and living God. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
I love you.
Enjoyed that singing this morning. Like I said, great to be in the house of the Lord. I was thinking about pastor appreciation. I'm honored, of course, but I was thinking about the things that go on behind the scenes that y'all never see. And I know that anybody's ladies here that's husbands that have been in any type of leadership, whether it be maybe a mayor or a coach or I don't know what, any type of thing, y'all hear all the discouragements and the hard times. So, and Stephanie is probably, I don't know, which I've never known another pastor's wife like I have her, but I know that when I want to quit, she don't let me. She keeps me going, and she's not one of these that if you had a pity party, you don't want her there. She's going to tell you quit crying and go and get up and go about the business. And I appreciate that, and appreciate the wife she's been for 24 years. We met this month 25 years ago. I don't even seem like I'm that old, Terry. But we did, and God has blessed us. And I can't wait to see what's in the future. But she is everything that I do, she's there for me, and she never, like I said, never lets me quit and always keeps me encouraged when I'm down. And so this is much her day as it is mine, for sure. So y'all pray for her, and she hears all my complaints and all my pouting and all that stuff. And because y'all may be different than me, but sometimes us men like to pout. And they say we get the men virus. And what's it called?
Man flu.
Man flu. Yeah, that's worse than the coronavirus. It takes us a while to recover. But we have had the same bed for 20-something years, probably. And she decided we needed another one. So she bought one the other day and was on the way up to Chattanooga and was in our little escape. Of course, couldn't come back through Rome and get it. So Blake and Amberly met us. And I told Blake on me and Blake come on home while they shopped in Rome. I told Blake on the way home, I said, we'll go get mattresses tonight. I know her. She's not going to let this be a day without not having it. So sure enough, she got home. I said, I guess you want to go get mattresses. She'd already had her phone out finding them. So we got them, got that thing together last night, and I said, thing's too tall. I sat on the side of it, my feet likes that much touching. I said, nobody from the church is allowed to come over because they'll make fun of me. My feet won't even touch the ground. So when I get out of the bed in the morning, you know, you always heard before your feet touches the ground, you should pray. I got to pray they touch. Nothing breaks when I fall off, but God has really blessed us. And so thankful for that this morning. We woke up, and her neck sore this morning. She said, is your back hurting? Because we just spent all that money on a mattress. I can't hardly walk. So I think the old wore out one may have been better for her. But we'll get started now. All that was for free. The title of the sermon this morning is First Things First. Coming out of 1 Timothy again. Of course, it's our ongoing rerun, I guess, every Sunday as of right now. But we know that Paul wrote the message to Timothy, this epistle to Timothy, about how to be a pastor and about how to run a church and how to take care of people, and all these things was in there. And he left nothing out. And I have read this 100 times and never understood that he tells him something to do first. We all know that when we start teaching somebody something, we all tell them what to do first. And then we'll go tell them what not to do because we have done it and we have messed up. But Paul begins telling Timothy what he should do first when he is running a local church. And today it's good advice for us still in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Chapter number 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 through 8. I'll get it right in a minute. There's too many ones and stuff here. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all good godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and of one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for your blessings again. God, we ask you to take this word and let it speak to our heart, that we may understand that prayer is the first thing we should do in our churches, the first thing we should do in our homes, the first thing we should do on our jobs, the first thing we should do wherever we are, we should pray. God, we ask you to help us this morning, for we are failures. I am a failure in this area. You let us see the necessity of prayer. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I think when you look at prayer, how important it is, we should look no further than Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who was God himself in the flesh, that he prayed. He went into a solitary place and got alone time with God. He knew the necessity of prayer. And today, that myself included, we have forgotten how important that prayer should be. It is our asking God for what he knows we need. You say, well, why should I do that? Because it pleases God. And it moves God. It's what God wants to see from us. We know that our children ask us for stuff, and many times we'll say, oh, you don't need that. You don't need that. But when that child comes for something that they are really needing or they are sick. There's nothing that warms our heart more than knowing we can provide that for our children. And God is the same way. Today, he asked us to pray in our churches. He's telling Timothy here, he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's verse number one. Now listen, who is he saying pray for? Number one, he's saying pray for all people. Pray for all people. There is none that does not stand in need of your prayers. If there is a person in this building that tells me you don't need prayer, then I want to meet you. Because I promise you that each one of those words of supplication and intercessions and all that, and we're not going to get into the meaning of each one of those. I was going to do that, but I'm not. But each one of them has a specific need for your life. You need to be interceded for sometimes. There's sometimes you need supplication, and there's many times you need giving of thanks. But here, simply, all people stand in need of God's prayers, the prayers to God. You stand in need of it. You stand in need of people praying for you. I stand in need of people praying for me. And we all stand in need of the practice to pray. We have let this thing go, and I believe that the power that's gone out of our churches, the power that's gone out of our communities is because we, as God's people, have stopped praying. We've stopped asking for what we need. We have no problem about asking our boss for a raise or about asking this one for that or asking for this type of thing we want materially, but for some reason we have just been clammed up when it comes to crying out to God on behalf of our people. On behalf of each other, you see, you are to pray for everybody that you come in contact with. I thought about that as I was putting this together. Even them I don't like, even them that's wanting things that I feel like is going to destroy my nation, going to destroy my area, going to destroy my life, I should pray for them. That's what the Word of God says. It says, first of all, that supplications, prayer, and all be made for all men. It don't say a certain color. It don't say a certain income level. Or it don't say any of that. It says to pray for all men. That includes everybody stands in need of prayer. I want to tell you something, fathers. This is made to the men, first of all. You're going to see that in a minute. And men, you got a responsibility to be praying for your children, for your grandchildren, and for your children, you don't have grandchildren you don't have seen yet, or great-grandchildren. You are to be praying that they be raised up in the ways of God and that God uses them mightily in their nation. You say, well, I don't know what my grandchild will do. You don't. Your grandchild may one day be the president. Your children may one day be the president. Your children may be a pastor, may be this or that. Or I challenge you today to pray not only for your children, but pray for their friends. Pray for the ones they are to marry. Pray for the ones that God would have them to be around and to influence them. Because whether you realize or not, the outside influences of your children are more powerful than what you believe. You pray for God to put good people in their paths. That is very important. I've saw it in my own life. Pray for all people. Number one, pray for salvation for all, for we don't know who will receive Christ. God does, but I don't. I don't know who that is. Verses 3 and 4 tells me this. Look what it said. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Did you notice that? All men. And it says that prayers be made in verse 1 for all men. And then it says in verse 3 and 4 that all men should be saved. It said it's who will have all men to be saved. So I should pray for the salvation of all men, even those who look like they have no chance of it. Because listen, brother, at some point you had no chance until God spoke to your heart and softened that thing. You had absolutely 0% chance of having a relationship with God until he draw you to himself, because the Bible says unless God draws you, you cannot come to him. So somebody prayed for you, and when God began drawing that heart, you had an opportunity to say yes, and at that point you become one of these all men to be saved. Amen. Be saved. Pray for salvation. Pray for all that are in authority. Whew. This is hard. Our president, I just thought of a couple. This is everybody in authority over you. And listen, if you're like me, you hate authority because we are born natural rebels. The fall in the garden brought about a rebellion upon our lives that we cannot get out of. We see it in children. Children are teenagers. What's the first thing you want to do? Exactly what your parents say not to do. It's just, it's the way we are. Mom and daddy tell us to do something, and when we're teenagers, we'll say they don't know what they're talking about. They're crazy. Look at what they've been through. You may tell you why mom and daddy is telling you what to do, because they have learned from experience. When you see these people with a little gray in their beard and a little gray in their hair, brother, you better listen up, because they have been through something and they know something that's going to help you. But young people like I used to be would say, I don't know that. I'll figure it out on my own and I'll see what comes to happen. I remember a day when I went to borrow the money for my house. I told my daddy has never got in our family business. Not once since we've been married. I told daddy we're going to borrow money for a house. And I told him how much. And my daddy said, all he did. My daddy had never had a house payment very long at all. And I told him that. And he wouldn't ever say not to. But you could tell by his face. He's thinking, boy, you're crazy. And I began thinking, what's wrong with him? I want to have something one day. But daddy knew what lied ahead. Daddy had done been down that road. And listen, we need to pray for them people who are in authority. Number one, we need to pray for our president. That may have stirred some up, but we need to do that. Pray for our president. If there's ever a time right now, we need to pray that not only for him, but for whoever God decides, and to pray that it is him again in power over us. Because listen, church, I told them I'm guilty of doing this, and I shouldn't have been doing it, but I have been. I've been looking about what happens in a socialist nation. What happens in a socialist nation? You realize that in true socialism, you own exactly nothing. You don't have a single right to your name. You don't have anything. I'm not going to preach much more about that, but I want to tell you to consider that and go look it up yourself. I don't mean to get you discouraged. I don't mean to get you upset, and I want you to trust God. But listen, I think you need to use some common sense when you go to these polls and think about what you have been blessed with in this nation, and you pray for the man that God puts in authority, even if it's not the one you want. Brother, you pray that God changes his heart and that God makes him into what God would have him to be, not what I'd have him to be, and that God would have him to rule as he would have him to rule, and that be lining up with the Word of God, and then we will be right. You pray for your president. Pray for your pastor. Maybe a little selfish on my part, but I need it. Not only is there maybe somebody listening on YouTube or Facebook, you pray for your pastor. They stand in need of it. You don't know how much comes in. Listen, there is stuff that comes to my mind that never came before I gave heed to this call. I'd never thought of it in my life. It never bothered me in my life, and now it does. And listen, those forces come against you because the Bible says you don't deal with flesh and blood. You fight with principalities and powers in high places. And things come against pastors that you wouldn't believe. They have struggles. They have doubts. They have discouragements. And brother, I don't care who he is, whether it's me or any other pastor, any other teacher, you pray for that person. And I pray earnestly. You pray for your bosses at work. You say, well, don't say that in Scripture. Yes, it does. It says, pray for all them in authority. You say, well, I don't like my boss. Well, guess what? Tough. Pray for him. Pray for him. If you don't like him, you pray for him. As the Bible says it, and you must do it. You pray for those in authorities, wives. And boy, this is going to stir some. We already got food cooked, don't we? Because they're about to turn it off down there. Pray for your husbands. Pray for your husbands. Boy, they really ain't going to like this part, because the Bible teaches. Now listen, y'all know I don't teach nothing that's not right. I try not to. I may tell you something wrong, but it's not on purpose. But according to I understand the Word of God, the husband is an authority over the wife only when he is in the will of God. He is not to be a dictatorian. He's not to be a taskmaster. But when the husband is in the will of God, wives, it's your job to submit to him and to pray for him that God would lead him in a way that he would lead you in a right way. The Bible says, husband, treat your wives as Christ does the church, and would get himself for it. If you got a man that is doing that, brother, sister, you need to pray for him and pray that God would let him rule the right way. And if he's not doing that, you pray that God would change his heart. Your wives, or y'all be shouting right there. Pray for your husbands. Prayer is the key to all things. James chapter 4, verse 2. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war and you have not because you ask not. Prayer is the key to everything in our lives. It is the key. Paul says it's the first thing we should do. Listen, I am guilty of not doing this because I am lazy and I wake up in the morning. I'm going to have to get up a little early now so I can get out of that bed. But I've been guilty of getting up and just rolling right out of bed and going about my way, and I will pray as I'm going out the door for just a minute. But listen, we should get in a habit of earnestly praying before God before we do anything in our day. I'm a hypocrite on this, but I'm still preaching it. Listen. We should pray earnestly to God before we leave our homes. We should pray safety upon our families. We should pray safety upon our church family and all these people. We should pray because according to that, we have not because we ask not. You should pray for them people in authority. Number two, place to pray. Where should you pray? Well, it's pretty simple. We already probably know this. Verse number 8 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, I will therefore, or I wish, or I want you to, however you want to word this, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Where are you to pray? Pretty clear, ain't it? Everywhere. You are to pray everywhere. I don't care where you go. You're to have a prayer on your heart. You're to pray in that place. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about our ball games and how these politically correct people, they don't want prayers at our ball games and all this thing. Listen, I'm proud to live in a county and under a school system and under leadership that still hasn't quit praying at ball games. I guess they do at Heflin. I know they do at Ramburn. Some kid, I think it can be student-led, they get up and they pray. And listen, that is so powerful. You don't know what a witness that may be to a lost and a dying world. They pray for safety over those players. They pray for safety for the ride home. And brother, I just don't see anything that could be wrong with that. You pray at all places. I don't care. Hey, listen, when you go out to a restaurant, you bow your head or whatever you do. And by the way, I learned this. Learn ain't a word, but I use it. It's all your school teachers. Don't shoot me. But I learned this in studying for this. Did you know that nowhere in the Word of God is it taught to bow your heads and close your eyes in prayer? Do you know that? Matter of fact, it's completely the opposite. Now, the Bible does teach when you're in need and dire desire and you have no other place to go, and that's every day, if we be honest. It says get on your knees before God and your face to the ground. It does say that, but many, many places in the Bible, men prayed standing up with their hands spread out before God and their eyes lifted up to heaven. You know why? Because they was looking to one who was alive. They didn't need to close their eyes. He was there and they was looking that way. So listen, places to pray. You pray everywhere. You can pray aloud, and we have got in a habit of I do it. We bow our heads there in the thing. And listen, I think it's become more of a witness than anything to a lost world that we are thanking God for our food. But that in itself, if we're not careful, becomes a tradition and not earnestly from our hearts. Because we'll have a little cute prayer we say right quick. We feel good about it. When we come to eat, we ought to thank God that He supplied us with that food, that He supplied us with the health to eat that food, that He supplied people to prepare the food for us if we didn't ourselves, or whatever the case to be. You should pray everywhere. Everywhere. All places. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Boy, I don't know. If you pray without ceasing, then everywhere you go, you must pray. Because it never runs out. Ceasing means it never quits. It never stops. When you go to work, you should be praying. When you go to that game I talked about, you should be praying. When you on your drive home, you should be praying. Everywhere, you should be praying. And I think that the number one place that we should be praying, it's hard to put a number one right here, and don't hold me to this because I may change in a minute on my number one. But listen, the number one place I think we should be praying is in our homes. In our homes. You know why? Because you home more than you're here. Now, when we come to this house of God, you should be praying in this house of God. It should be the first thing we do, as we should be praying, not just a few words. We should be earnestly in prayer to God. For who? For all people, and especially those in authority over us. We should cry out to Him. But I think the number one place we need to get prayer back is in our homes. Men, this is your job. This is your job. You begin praying and you see how God begins answering. He will answer. How do I know that? Because I have tried it. I have tried it. Stephanie can probably tell you how many days. But we've gotten in a good habit. We've got a lot of bad habits, but we've gotten in one good one. We pray beside our bed Well, we prayed beside our bed last night. We was looking up at our bed. But we pray beside our bed together every night. Last night as we got to pray, I thought, man, this is a big bed, ain't it? But we've gotten a habit of that. And there's been one or two nights we have went to sleep and hadn't done it because she was asleep before, whatever the case may be. But most nights, for a certain number of days, we have done this. I can tell you three prayers that God has answered. More than that, but I know specific. One was, there's going to be a grandchild coming. We prayed for that before even when we started praying. Beside our bed, we started praying for that. And as you see these prayers answered, you become overwhelmed with emotion and thinking, God, why did I deserve this? You keep His word, and He'll keep His. He'll keep His word. You should be praying at home. You should be praying with your wife. You should be praying with your families. They should see you pray. They should hear you pray. How in the world do you think they're going to learn to lead their wives and to lead their children if they don't see you doing it at home? And listen, we go back to this. I know y'all tired of me harping on this, but we, all of us old people, will say, well, prayer needs back. If I see it one more time on Facebook, I'm going to shoot my phone. Prayer needs to be back in schools. Prayer needs to be back in homes and back in with mom and daddy and back with the children, hear them pray. Then the children will be praying back in schools. That's where the problem lies. It's not the school's responsibility to do anything my kids other than teach them what should be the lessons they need to have. But nowhere in anywhere is it the school's jobs to teach my kids how to be people. That's my job. My job is to teach them how to be godly people. My job is how to teach them. I wish prayer was in school, and maybe it is. If not, I hope it will be. But if it would get in my home, I would have no problem with it being in my school. It's our fault. We all love to blame somebody else. Oh, that school quit having prayer. No, you quit having prayer. It's why the school did. Prayer must be in our homes. Must be. Paul is saying prayer should be the first thing everywhere, especially at church. Y'all remember a time, I don't, but some of y'all do, and I'm not picking on you older folks. Y'all remember when Wednesday nights had a name? What was it? Prayer meeting. You know what they did? They met and had prayer. It's pretty simple. Somewhere or another, we got to thinking we need more than that. We got to thinking maybe we need, I'm not against these programs, Awanas, Word of Life, all these others, and they're great programs. I'm not, don't shoot me for it. I'm not saying this, but listen. I don't think there's nothing wrong with prayer. I think it's the best program you could ever have. I don't know of another program that's been as successful as prayer. There'll never be one because, listen, prayer is the way that God set it up. And I'm not saying that we have to do it on Wednesday night. That men come up with that. Nowhere in the Bible does God say pray on Wednesday night. But I think it is very scriptural for a church to get together and pray. Pray. And that would be all they would do, would pray. I don't see where there's anything wrong with it. Matter of fact, there's great power in it. So a place to pray. Thirdly, you need to be prepared to pray. Prepared. Verse number 8 says, number 1, holy hands. This means to be clean. Have a clean life before God. Nothing separate, no sin that's separating you and God. This is what this means. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Of a righteous man. How do you become righteous? Crying out in faith to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we should confess our sins daily. We should ask Him. It said He's just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first thing we should do when we begin to pray is follow the model prayer that Jesus set up for us there. He says, forgive us our sin. We, for those that sin against us, we need to, when we come to pray, is ask God to forgive us first of all, so the line of communication can be open, because God will not ever, never will He ever choose to use someone with sin in their life. We must have clean hands, holy hands, lifting them up without wrath. This holds the meaning of no grudges with our fellow man. No ill feelings towards our fellow man. You see, every one of us in here right now has somebody that we don't like. We have somebody that we don't care to be around. We have somebody that has done us wrong, and I can't forget it. You're the same way I am. But until we forgive and let that thing go, according to this, our prayers can't be answered without wrath. It tells us in the Scriptures many times. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Forgive them. Hey, it's hard. But how many times does God have to forgive you? Millions and millions of times he's forgiven me. And he's forgiven you if you have asked him. Listen, you must, when you come to pray, you must be forgiven of God. You must not hold no grudges against man. And you must be willing to trust what God says is going to happen. Because it says, without doubting. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's the word of God. That is the written, preserved word of God. If you say to a mountain and you don't doubt that it can happen, it can happen. Y'all know I'm not one of these name it and claim it, but I am a Bible preacher. And I believe if the Bible says it, it can happen. And it will happen. And if you doubt it, then guess what? You cannot pray a prayer you should when you have doubt in your heart. And I know this is the hardest thing for me because I'm a doubter. I've been reading my apostle book about old Thomas. And boy, when I read Thomas, I see a picture of me in a lot of that. Thomas doubted what God could do. He doubted who Jesus was. You remember he had to thrust his hand into his side and feel before he'd believe. We must not have any doubt. Remember, that's being prepared to pray. And it says we are to pray for all men. We are to pray in all places. But you must be prepared to do that. You must be living a life clean before God. I said this before and I'll say it again. D.L. Moody made a quote, or said a quote. It's yet to be seen what God can do through a man who's wholly sold out to him. There's never been a man on this earth besides Jesus Christ that was wholly sold out to the will of God. Y'all know much about D.L. Moody. That looked like a picture of a sold out man to me. But D.L. Moody knew his own life. Billy Graham says, I know evil exists because of my own heart. That's Billy Graham. So we're all still at that place of some type of doubt or some type of thing is in our way. But lastly, I want you to see the power in prayer. And I don't have any points on this one because there's none needed. Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 30. I'm going to read this and we're going to close. I want you to listen closely. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Whom by thy mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and people of Israel were to gather together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And I left one part off of that I messed up. But at the end of this verse, and turn to Acts chapter 4, and you can read it, but take me at my word on this one. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. The place was shaken. You know why it was shaken? Because they was prepared to pray. They prayed in the place they were supposed to be praying. They prayed for all men for boldness. Church, there is power in prayer. Power in prayer. And I've told them, I confessed my sins of doubt and of unbelief down in our Sunday school of this upcoming election, how nervous I have been about it and how worried I am for my nation and for my kids and for my grandchild and children, grandchildren. They may be more, maybe. If it ain't a boy, it better be more. But I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about your children. I want to see the times that my grandmother lived through of freedom and people loving one another in this nation. I want to see that. So I've thought about what can I do, and I've allowed the enemy to tell me, well, you've got one thing you can do, and that's vote. You got one thing you can do is vote. Yeah, I can do that. But the most powerful thing I can do is pray. If I pray without doubting, according to that scripture, the mountain can be thrown into the sea. If I pray without doubt. So I want to do something this morning that's a little different. We're not going to have Pat to come. I want all who can and will to meet me here in this altar. And I want us to pray, number one, for people to be saved. Number two, I want to pray for our church. I want to pray for our nation. I want to pray for this election. And I just want to pray for God's will to be done. I want to pray for His calmness, His comfort to come in our hearts and lives, no matter what results come in anything we do. And I want us to believe it's going to happen. Will you join me? If you can, if you can't, I understand. You stay right where you are and you pray in your own way.